The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Fill in Frank. Giannis Antetokounmpo got ejected for a headbutt. Have you ever headbutted anyone?
Not that I've been convicted for, so no.
Okay. All right. You know, I don't think you're going to get convicted for a headbutt.
I could
expect a suspension, as I think you do, too.
What about John Starks and Reggie Miller? What about Zidane?
That was
Zidane in the World Cup final got kicked out of the game.
I know, but not a
France, Italy.
Suspension.
That was a nasty one.
It was. That was very bad. Welcome to PTI. Tony doesn't care about you like I do. So here to do his work for him is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Oh. No
well,
cheers.
Social distancing right. In the studio. We can't be helped.
It's
Let's
getting ugly.
Start. With the Big 12 officially announcing that it has plans to play football this fall. Schools will start conference play on September 26th, Frank, with a single non-conference game a week or two prior. The Big 12 Board of Directors said its experts believe sports can be conducted safely, but will change course if those experts change their minds. So, Frank, how do you feel about the Big 12 going forward with at least football?
Well, good luck to the Big 12. You mentioned it, September 26th. So they kind of have 45 days here to play. And they said they're going to do testing, I guess, for the high contact sports. They mentioned volleyball, soccer. So for those of you who don't think those are high contact sports, the Big 12 begs to differ. And football. So they'll get tested. Michael, here would be my thing, though. On a college campus, it's basically a human petri dish. So I would think when players are in class, there's a chance that they could go to parties. That's where you're going to get trouble. We've seen this happen with Major League Baseball. So unless, to me, you kind of create a bubble type of environment, I still think it's going to be difficult to pull off. They can do it, but it could be difficult.
Well, coaches certainly want to do it. And I'm sure administrators want to do it. Look, in the schools that we're talking about here, particularly the SEC and the ACC,
yep.
And the Big 12 sort of straddles the fence. They were saying, oh, the vote's going to be close. Frank, they want to play football. They'll do anything they think they can get away with to play football. They want
right.
to play. And they want to play, and they'll take greater risks than, say, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. We know that. Now, I don't care who gets upset about my interpretation of that. That's the deal. So if they're going to do that, they're looking at, they'll explain away anything. And now they're saying, well, you know, there's a greater chance that they'll get it on campus somewhere than they will in a football bubble. But we don't know, again, these kids are not pros. This is not an NHL bubble or an NBA bubble or a WNBA bubble or an MLS bubble. They're not required to do this. And we don't know how compliant they're going to be, Frank, particularly after, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks of this. But let me just say this. I'm okay. I am more than okay with saying, hey, let's see where this goes. Let's see what happens. Let's play it by ear. As long as it is somehow tied at the end of the day to science. I don't want to hear the deniers. I don't want to hear that, particularly not on college campuses.
It seems like we're all set up to have Alabama, another team from the SEC, a team from the Big 12, maybe Oklahoma, and then Clemson in the national semifinals. Ryan Day came out and said that he wants to play in January. How much pressure do you think goes on the Pac-12 and the Big Ten if the SEC, if the Big 12, and also the ACC can pull this off and somehow manage to have a season?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure, but that's one reason why you have the presidents leading the way, not football coaches, presidents. And presidents who do not exist simply, you know, at the pleasure of their football coaches, which is, I mean, let's face it, there is a distinct difference. All right, between institutions, and it's okay. It should be that way. Agendas are different. The constituents they serve are different. But we know where the SEC lives, and to a great extent, the ACC, though not with the entirety of the SEC, Frank. So I don't know where this is going to go. There is going to be pressure. And again, I'm okay with saying, let's wait and see where this goes as long as there's honest sentiment being expressed.
Yeah, when all this talk was going on about college football, I kept saying, I still believe the SEC is going to play. Big 12, ACC, we'll see what happens. All right, let's move to the NFL, where Jerry Jones speaks. Imagine that. The Cowboys owner has been notably silent in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests across the country. Jones said today that he might back off his requirement that players stand for the national anthem, saying that he wants to find a way to police both protesters of police brutality and flag supporters. He vowed to talk with players and handle it with grace. He used the word grace a lot. Michael, you're an authority on grace. What do you make of what Jerry said?
I thought it was mealy-mouthed, non-committal nonsense.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones doesn't want to offend his base, and he doesn't want to enrage his players.
Yep.
And so he's trying to walk this rail, you know, which Jerry Jones is not good at. It means Jerry Jones is not even being himself. So it's just a phony waste of our time, all right? Because Jerry Jones has been hiding beneath his desk because he's been scared. He's been afraid. Big, bad, tough-talking Jerry Jones is scared. And that's what he's been, and he's still that. And that's why he hid behind words like grace, because he wouldn't come out, or he's just not courageous enough to come out and say what's on his mind or demonstrate that he learned anything. He keeps talking about the players learned and we've been through this. What have you learned, dude? What have you learned? And I don't know anything that he demonstrated that he learned. He didn't say anything that was committal one way or the other. So I'm just waving it off as a waste of time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. To me, he came across like a businessman. A businessman that wants fans in his building, doesn't want to tick off his players, know that he's called America's team. Let's remember that. And another thing, you know, he was more than willing. He wanted to talk about Dak Prescott, obviously, and the contract. This was the last thing that he wanted to talk about. But how about him bringing up fans being in the building? He's talking about maybe having pods of 5 to 15 fans. Washington came out today, the Washington football team, they said no fans. Here you have the Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Think about where that is. You have same division, one team, no fans. Jerry saying, we're going to have fans in my building.
Well, yeah, same division, but entirely different places in the world. Texas,
just like college football.
Washington, D.C., just like college football. That's right. That was something we should have mentioned, that so much of this depends, you know, on where you are, where you live, what your state allows, what your counties allow, what your governor says. So much of this depends on that. And college football more than pro football, because pro football, at least there is some agenda. And Roger Goodell came out from under his desk, you know, some weeks ago and did decide to take a stand and take a position and was not mealy-mouthed. But Jerry Jones, what a disappointment. You know, and all these guys need to be called out, because when it's just football they're talking about and they're in some safe little bubble, then they run their mouths all the time. There's no microphone they won't speak into. But let the conversation get tough and you can't find him.
Yeah, he didn't want to offend anybody, Mike. The word grace, it felt like he used it 20 times, and that seemed like anything but grace.
Unbelievable. That's exactly right, Frank. The bottom of the NBA bubble is creating some high-end drama. Damian Lillard dropped 61 on the Mavericks last night to lead the Trailblazers into temporary sole possession of the eighth spot in the West. The Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs are all a half game back. So tomorrow's games will determine which two meet in the weekend's play-in round. Frank, which of these four teams would you like to see with that final playoff spot?
Yeah, I want to see it be Portland and Phoenix, because this way you get the two best players in the bubble right now, Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. Portland, all they have to do is beat the Brooklyn Nets. They're eight. Phoenix does need help. Here's the amazing thing about the Phoenix Suns, Mike. They've won seven in a row. They need to win eight in a row. Then they need help. They'll probably finish nine. Then they'll have to win two more games. So that would mean a 10-game winning streak just for the right to play LeBron James and the Lakers in the playoffs. It's incredible. They would essentially 10-game winning streak just to be in the playoffs.
I thought I was making some bold prediction when I said on the eve of play opening in the bubble, the seeding play, that the Suns would go 6-2. I did say they'll go 6-2, but it won't be enough.
You have no faith.
So, what, 6-2 won't be enough?
It wouldn't have
Neither
been.
Neither will
be
7-1.
Out.
It just still won't be enough. So, but it is amazing. Look, I have a horse in this race. You know, I spend a lot of time in Arizona, specifically Scottsdale. I love Devin Booker. My favorite two players, I'm not saying the best two, my two favorite players are Jimmy Butler and Devin Booker.
I thought you were going to say Kyrie. I had it wrong. I'm sorry.
No.
I thought you were going to say Kyrie.
No, I'm not going to say Kyrie. I'm going to say those two guys. And so I love seeing Devin Booker play whenever I can see Devin Booker play. And so I'm not going to back away from that. But if you project, and you and I have been projecting, because we have to, that you have to look ahead to the first round of the playoffs and say, okay, who would provide the Los Angeles Lakers with a really not just stubborn opponent, but a capable opponent? And the answer is the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I get Portland and Phoenix in that game, and I feel bad because I always root for the Spurs. I root for Pop and the Spurs 22 consecutive years in the playoffs.
Amazing.
I do not root against San Antonio, and I didn't back in the years of people because, oh, they're boring, they're too this, they're not, blah, blah. I always love seeing San Antonio play, and I feel bad for Memphis. I feel like they somehow just got taken advantage of by even being in a bubble with some teams trying to catch him in the first place and no Jaren Jackson. But are you rooting? Do you have a rooting interest as somebody who's covered, a future Hall of Famer's career who might be on that Portland team?
I've always been a big Carmelo guy, and he's been terrific. You know, a big thing that will determine tomorrow, the opponents, who's sitting out. Is Luka Doncic and Porzingis going to play against Phoenix? What about Giannis, Chris Middleton in the game against Memphis? Taylor Jenkins used to work for Mike Budenholzer. But, Mike, you know, we've talked so much about the bubble. How about the shot of the bubble? With Portland down 3, 1:30 to go, Damian Lillard took a terrible shot. It was about from 40 feet out. But it hits the back iron, goes about 15 feet in the air.
Ties the game, right?
And it was like a Greg Louganis dive. It didn't even splash.
But that was the second best shot.
Incredible.
That was second. Sorry, Dame. That was second. Booker at the buzzer to beat the Clippers.
Over Paul George.
With Paul George and Kawhi Leonard right there. So I'm still going with that as my number one shot. By the way, just to go back with Portland, because I know both of us think that Portland would really be a formidable opponent for the Lakers. Carmelo Anthony as the third and sometimes fourth option?
Yeah.
I mean, Portland all of a sudden seems to me to be a threat to make a real series out of that.
Yeah, and think about it. His two former teammates, Tim Hardaway and Porzingis, nearly knocked him out last night. But Carmelo with 26, he was terrific.
Carmelo was terrific. He was. Let's take a break. But coming up, the Pac-12 has pushed basketball into 2021. Could the whole college basketball season be in jeopardy?
And later, the Masters won't need to make nearly as pimento cheese sandwiches this year. How about that? By the way, Mike, all the talk about grace.
Cheese?
I thought that was you on the golf course with your swing.
No. Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Miralax. It works with the water in your body to unblock your system naturally.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Pac-12's decision to cancel fall sports also includes basketball, which now won't start until at least January. The NCAA's Men's Basketball Oversight Committee meets tomorrow afternoon to try and figure out what to recommend to all of Division I. Frank, basketball didn't even make it to the tournament last season. Do you believe this upcoming season of college basketball could now be in jeopardy?
No, I don't think it will be. I think there's too much money involved. Dan Gavitt, the VP of basketball for the NCAA, he came out in July and said he's not going to move the tournament. They believe they can play. I think what you have to take into account, they were really blindsided by this. You know, when everything started to shut down, you know, no one knew how to react. They didn't have a plan in place. Now you can, if everything stays the way it is now, which isn't ideal, obviously, you could probably come up with some type of bubble format and have a tournament. Listen, nobody's going to be playing 30 games. You're probably not going to go down to the Bahamas, maybe not going to go to Hawaii, but you can play your conference games and try to pull off some type of tournament. I just think there's too much money. I think the number I heard was about $9 billion. So I think they're going to play.
Yeah, the $9 billion sounds about right. And I mean, especially, Frank, if you're coming out of a season where you have not gotten the revenue, not realized the revenue from $4 billion or so for the college football season. But here's the one thing that gives me a little pause. Because last night, I'm looking at this, I'm listening to all this, trying to weigh what I think is going to happen. And then you start reading just straight news reports. You know, I pick up the New York Times and the Washington Post, and I'm reading scientists talk about what this fall, winter could be like in the United States. That, I mean, we could be in a situation where you said, and I did listen to this, you said, if we stay about the same.
Yeah.
But suppose this takes a turn south.
I know.
And we're in so much worse condition, then it does become in jeopardy because we don't even know what our school's going to have to shut down. I mean, look at Notre Dame, which at least took into account the notion that something could boomerang and you could be better, not well off after sort of Thanksgiving. And they tailored the school year to the thought or the anticipation that that could happen. So if that's the case, it is in jeopardy. And I know it seems like, you know, three or four times a week since March, I've been saying, we don't know. And so once again, we don't know. And therefore, my answer is it would be in some sort of jeopardy, though I hope not. But it all depends on what we see, what the conditions are with the virus and this country in November, December, January going into the proposed college basketball
season. Mike, I think if you look at the logistics of it, especially now with online classes, Zoom and everything like that, you could probably come up with some type of format, follow the NBA's lead, NHL, what the MLS just did. They played their championship game. Some type of bubble format where maybe the players go away for 3 weeks to a location, and you can pull off the tournament. In March, they weren't ready. When the Ivy League came out and
you're
said,
right,
we're not having our men's and women's tournaments, we all thought, wow, that was, why didn't you just play without fans? But they were right to
do
that.
We were already 10 days into March, as you suggest, and it just caught them by surprise.
Yep.
But Frank, I got the usual question. Who's going to pay for all that? Now, I know when you say $9 billion in revenue realized by somebody, you ought to be able to, with a couple of hundred million, put up a bubble or two or three or each one in a region. You ought to be able to, but you know it's going to come back to that. Who is going to sign off on that?
Your friends at CBS will pay for it. That's who it's going to be. A lot of money involved. I think they're going to play. They're going to figure out a way to get it done.
Let's take one last break, but still to come. A marathon game in the NHL's bubble.
And where does Giancarlo Stanton's injury leave the Yankees? Giancarlo Stanton is injured again? I don't believe that.
I mean, so what's up with New York and injuries? Kyrie, Stanton, huh?
We're easing into the contracts.
Man.
You got to pace yourself. You don't just jump into it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You better get happy, people. Happy 29th birthday, Chris Middleton. While the Milwaukee Bucks' playoff fortunes will depend first and foremost on the play of Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's two-time All-Star forward Middleton who's going to have to be a formidable tag team partner for the Bucks to reach the NBA Finals. Yes, Middleton has had a terrific all-around season, averaging 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, while hitting 42% of his threes and becoming a first-rate defender. Still, the pressure on Middleton to prove he is a worthy number two on a championship team isn't unlike what Scottie Pippen encountered on the way up to Robin to Michael Jordan's Batman. While the Bucks have a very nice ensemble featuring Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and Kyle Korver, among others, Frank, don't you think Middleton is going to have to do lots of heavy lifting this postseason?
He is. I'm worried about the Bucks. They haven't played well. You know, last year, he averaged 21 points a game in the regular season. Playoffs, 17 points.
Yeah.
He's got to do better.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to have that kind of slippage if they're going to go anywhere. A not-so-happy anniversary to Major League Baseball. It was 26 years ago today that the most infamous player strike began and put the 1994 season on ice. The owners wanted a salary cap. The players said no. And since the two sides wouldn't budge, baseball did not have a postseason. No World Series, no champion for the first time in 90 years. It was a hugely disappointing season since Tony Gwynn was flirting with hitting 400. Frank Thomas was chasing Junior Griffey and Kirby Puckett for a triple crown, yet there was no resolution to any of it. Frank, I'm guessing that since the players still operate without a salary cap, like the ones that govern the NFL, NBA, and NHL, the MLBPA must consider that a win.
Yeah, they won. The fans lost. You know who else lost? Don Mattingly of the Yankees. They had the best record in the AL. And the Montreal Expos had the best record in baseball.
Wow.
74 wins, and then that was it. Season over. Expos over.
See, they might have won something before they had to wait like 20-some years to get to Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Happy trails to Game 1 for the Blue Jackets. Columbus lost Game 1 of their series to Tampa Bay last night in not 3, not 4, but 5 overtimes.
Crazy.
Braden Point of the Lightning scored the game winner 150 minutes and 27 seconds into the contest, beating the Blue Jackets goalie Jonas Korpisalo, who had made a playoff record, 85 saves, Frank. The Blue Jackets have to be weary. It was their sixth game in 9 days, including two others that went to OT. The game was so long that the Bruins-Hurricanes game scheduled to follow had to be pushed to this morning instead.
All right, I've been waiting for this one. Columbus, shorthanded, had a breakaway, Cam Atkinson. He gets taken down, no penalty shot, no penalty. A couple of minutes later, Tampa Bay scores, game over. But here's my thing, and you and I remember 1987, Islanders, Capitals, it went to 4 overtimes. That was a game 7.
Where were you for that game?
Driving from Maryland to New York. I got home by the time the game ended.
I was in a press box covering the game.
You cannot play a 5 overtime game in a game 1. You want to have your first 2 overtimes, that's fine. You get to a 3rd overtime, play 4-on-4.
Tank it.
You're killing your product.
You're killing a product.
A 5-hour game is ridiculous.
I'm with you.
You can't do it.
I sat through that game, Capitals Islanders, in Washington. Islanders, of course.
Pat LaFontaine with the big goal.
Pat LaFontaine. No errors today, peeps. We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Giancarlo Stanton is out for up to a month with a hamstring injury. That's a big loss, is it not?
You know, his first year in New York, he plays 158 games. Last year was 18. Now he's down to 14. He's too big and strong. That's a problem. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn revealed on Hard Knocks that he had COVID and has recovered. Your thoughts?
Two thoughts. First, I'm glad he recovered. Secondly, don't tell me that Hard Knocks is now breaking news. Okay, let's tamp it down on Hard Knocks, the obsession with. The Portland Timbers beat Orlando City SC for the MLS's Back Cup. Are you impressed with that? Did you watch that?
Yes, I did, and I picked the winner. By the way, the MLS, and great job by them and my buddy Don Garber, their regular season begins tonight. FC Dallas plays Nashville.
They're back.
Those were the two teams that the MLS kicked out of the
bubble
because of all the positive tests. The Masters will have no patrons in attendance. Is that the right call?
It's the only call. I mean, you know you want to see and hear and feel all of that. I've been there as a patron. But it's sadly the right call. Last one, the NBA is going to name a bubble MVP or a campus MVP if you're Adam Silver. Who deserves to get that trophy, Frank?
I got Damian Lillard. Who do you got? I know who it is.
Booker is only two guys, Booker
right.
or Dame, right?
TJ Warren third. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.